night of New York on May 18, 1904, of immigrant parents, both of whom had met and married in the United States in the late 80s when they had arrived here. My father, from what was then the Austro-Hungarian Empire, from a town called Mielnica, near the then Russian border. My mother, from a Turkish province called Palestine, where she was born in Safed. My birthplace was at 85 Santon Street, where my father was then a janitor. And this itself was a rather fortuitous circumstance. For in later years, when I entered into politics, although not from that area, as we had moved when I was about a little over 13 years of age and had already been bar mitzvah, successively to Brooklyn and then to Washington Heights in Manhattan, I was able to say, and it counted politically, that I was born in what for a city boy was the equivalent of a log cabin, to wit, a tenement on the Lower East Side of New York. I knew something, but not a great deal, about my own antecedents. As far as my father was concerned, he was apparently the son of an Orthodox Jew who was a dealer in flour, and a cut above the run-of-the-mill people of his particular shtetl, as Mielnica was called. And apparently had been an apprentice to a very distinguished rabbi called the Mielnica Roof, in the fashion of the Tale of Settlement of the time, with a very promising future to be a favorite of that rabbi, which he'd indeed already become, even at the young age, which he then was. And again, in accordance with the fashion of the time, he had been married off without seeing his bride to another young Jewish girl from another village. He apparently saw her for the first time when they were married. He tried it out for a year and didn't like her at all. And then, in one of those amazing bursts of the human personality, with neither a front or a back, simply picked himself up and escaped absolutely penniless to the United States in order to get out of this disagreeable marriage, thereby breaking with his whole tradition, although he was then hardly 20 years of age, of leaving his rabbi and leaving his family and leaving his bride. But as I say, this is some amazing burst of the human personality, which at least I never had any concept of the basic reason for it. He landed in the United States at Castle Garden, really penniless. He told the story of how it was necessary to have $1 to get into the United States in those days. You needed nothing else except $1 and to be relatively healthy. He went through the experience of having the single dollar, and this I'm sure was with the connivance of the immigration authorities, passed from person to person as they went through the final immigration clearance, so that each technically had a dollar, though the man or the woman that left had nothing. He said he slept his first night or his first three nights on the Lower East Side, to which he had wandered immediately, on foot, by the way, and it was not too far, I should say, several miles, in a butcher's truck, and then began to get odd jobs. Finally ended up as an operator on men's pants, and told the story of how carrying his machine on his back. And work was only available 3 or 4 months a year in what was called the season. This is an oft-told tale, but has an especial poignancy to me because it probably was an influence in my life politically and continues to be today in my describing myself, notwithstanding my feeling of objectivity on the subject, as a pro-union, trade union senator. As to my mother's background and what I knew about it, it has always been a matter of great interest to me in later years that the first lullabies that I heard, that I can remember, and the first dances that I saw in our home were Turkish lullabies and Turkish dances, the unmistakable stamp of my mother's girlhood in a Turkish province. According to her story, she had been the child, the only child, of a very transient union between a traveling salesman out of Vienna who had passed through Safed on a Near Eastern trip, married what was probably a pretty local wench, to wit, my grandmother, and remained a year and then took off as suddenly as he had arrived, leaving as the fruit of the union my mother Ida. She was then apparently placed in charge of her grandmother or some other relative who ran a what we would describe today as a grocery store, and was made, for all practical purposes, into a slavey, like Cosette in Les Miserables. And this began when she was something like 8 or 9 years of age. She told how she had to handle, as a child, lye, L-Y-E, which was used in the washing of clothes in those rather cruder days, and which ate into her hands so that she suffered the most terrible pains as a child in handling this material. But somehow or other, she survived, and when she was 16 years of age, apparently her mother, who had then settled with a new husband in Odessa and opened what was called a tea shop, and we would call it a tea room or a small restaurant, bethought herself of her daughter in Safed, and sent the money for her passage. And mother used to tell how she went from she walked to the port of Beirut from Safed, which was X miles, embarked upon a sailing ship, and sailed in through the Mediterranean and the Dardanelles to the Black Sea port of Odessa. Mother told of her early years in Odessa, where she remained for 3 years, getting a feeling for the Russian culture, though she never learned the Russian language. Indeed, mother had no schooling at all, and that is clear from the history which I've just given. And she never learned to read or write in any language, her native tongue being Yiddish, until she was 55 years of age, when she learned in an adult education public school in Brooklyn, where she then lived. And one of the joys of her life was that when she could ride on the subway from Brooklyn to Manhattan and read the advertising signs, and also was able to sign her name, especially when she had a checking account. This represented just a very very special kind of paradise for a very special kind of woman. Indeed, here too were some of my own origins, because my own passion for adult education and for the capability of the individual to make something of himself in terms of the enjoyment of life and usefulness to the community came from the indomitable spirit which characterized my mother. Paragraph. She described how in her early years in the United States, to which she came when she was 19 years of age, after having spent 3 years in Odessa with her mother and her stepfather, and with a stepsister and stepbrother. She was wont to tell us of her early years in the United States before she met and married my father as an operator on ties for men. And in this work, which she learned very quickly, as she knew how to sew, she worked all day, and then the family, which was fairly bereft, took in ties at night, took in ties for homework, so that she worked literally day and night. Indeed, this characterized her whole life until, through my brother Benjamin's tremendous efforts, we were, as it were, like the children of Israel, brought out of the Lower East Side to Eastern Parkway, Brooklyn, when her life for the first time changed from one of constant toil to one of some toil and some pleasure. Paragraph. I had left my father's life at the point where he was a pants operator, where he and my mother met and married. Street on the Lower East Side, which was in constant darkness because the elevated train, the Second Avenue elevated, then ran on Allen Street on an elevated structure. And the street was so narrow that there was absolutely no place for a sight of the sky. The elevated structure preempted everything. And for the rest of his life, my father was a janitor. From then on until we left the Lower East Side in the 1920s, we were very poor. My father's maximum salary was $45 a month, plus his rum and coal, as the janitor of the three tenement houses I've described. But we did manage to eke out an honorable existence. My father continuing in his orthodoxy and observances of the Sabbath and the holidays. My mother always trying to contrive through getting into one business or another. At successive times, she had a home furnishing store which went bankrupt on the very property where we were the janitors, and a stand for what was then called dry goods, to wit, piece goods, in front of the building, as Orchard Street was a major market, pushcart market, on the Lower East Side, which also, though it didn't go bankrupt, it wasn't big enough for that, went out of business. But nonetheless, she kept trying. And one of the earliest memories of my childhood, I couldn't have been more than 10 or 11, was when I went with my mother on a hired a horse and dray wagon to some address on Worth Street, where we bought a large stock of defective chinaware and other crockery and house and home utensils to take back to our store for sale as a bargain merchandise. And also my recollection of a pushcart upon which some of this merchandise was piled, and which I and such voice as I had advertised its wares. I suppose it might be fair to say that my interest in small business, which has been continuous throughout my political life in a rather specialized way, may be said to date from these childhood experiences. Similarly, my deep concern with housing, without any question, dates from my experiences as a son of a janitor on the Lower East Side. The abysmal conditions in which we lived had to be seen. They could hardly be described. One toilet to serve four families in a black hallway on each of the five stories of each of these tenements. An almost impossible situation for either cleanliness or sanitation, with a constant odor pervading these hallways from top to bottom almost all the time, no matter how, what Herculean efforts my mother and father made to keep them clean. And then the yards between the buildings, knee-deep in garbage, which the tenants continued to throw out of their windows, no matter how often the janitor and such helper as he could get cleaned this Aegean stable. Essentially, that's what it was. Two intimate memories of my childhood, though I cannot, a few intimate memories of my childhood, though I cannot ascribe any particular political activity to them. were the following. First, a very old to me, might have been not more than 50, black gentleman who was my father's assistant, and for his compensation was permitted to sleep in the cellar of one of the tenement buildings near the what was called the engine, which was used to pump water to the upper stories and had to be kept oiled and greased accordingly, and who was probably a congenital alcoholic and derelict called Charlie Sugarbum, who, when I was a child, delighted in carrying me around in his arms, and as he seemed to have had a very special affection for me. The other is of a policeman, as my father was, as our home was a central place of rest and recreation for the local police, where they could always get a cup of tea, or if a fortune had smiled upon us, even a drink, and which was very useful to my father, who was something of a local Tammany Hall captain, and therefore found it very important to be friendly with the police. A particular policeman named Jim Melody also had a rather apparently a special affection for me, and just like Charlie Sugarbum, would occasionally carry me around in his arms to the delight of all the neighbors. I remember Jim Melody of the 5th Precinct, the then 5th Precinct, very well indeed in later years, tried to seek him out, but found that he had retired and passed away. The third element in my childhood experience, which is of note, was my connection with the University Settlement, a Neath Side settlement house, which was located at Rivington and Eldred Streets, three city blocks from my home on Stanton Street, where I was early sent to kindergarten by my mother, and where I learned to take a bath, as they had showers for poor children, to play basketball, which was the major sport, and ultimately to participate in club life as a member and secretary of the Cornell Club, one of the clubs for youngsters up to 12 or 13 years of age. By the way, the 13-year of age emphasis, which I seem to have given here, is a very real one, for our family was an Orthodox Jewish family, and the bar mitzvah of a young Jew, a young male Jew, age 13, is really not only the qualification which he must have to make a member of a group which can pray together as a group called the Minyan, which consists of 10 Jews over the age of 13. But also represented a real milestone in one's personal and educational life in a complete break with previous activities as a lower, as an elementary school attendee, and as a member of a club in a settlement house, like the University Settlement. One of the matters of great pride at the university settlement was the fact that Eleanor Roosevelt had started her career as a house worker at the university settlement, though she came even a little bit before my time in that capacity. A good scholarship came early and almost naturally to me. I was on the honor roll of PS-20, then located across the street from the university settlement. When I graduated in the winter of 1917, and my most vivid recollections of my elementary school career were in the fact that I became something of a public speaker. Here indeed is a very strong influence in my later life, and was singled out for all school recitations of famous poems. I made a particular specialty of the Patriotic Ode. And here leave the space blank and I will ascertain it. Also, I enjoyed my English classes enormously and did not enjoy nearly as much my classes in mathematics, though I apparently did well in both. Spencerian penmanship was still practiced in those days as part of the elementary school curriculum, and I suffered through that as best I could. But to this day, my handwriting remains almost unintelligible and needs interpretation by me and a very sympathetic secretary. Turning back now to our lives at home, these were mainly distinguished by the quiet and sentimental simplicity and yet beauty of the Sabbath, which was when everything suddenly fell into place. The house was quiet and clean. The food was specially prepared. Everyone dressed, considering our most limited means, appropriately. A certain dignity pervaded the streets, as the Lower East Side was then almost completely a Jewish ghetto, and synagogue attendance was widespread. My father continued in his orthodoxy, and indeed it was the despair of his life, when, as my brother became more liberated in terms of his relationship to the American scene, he more and more ceased to practice the ritual, such as the laying of the phylacteries upon arising in the morning. My mother gloried in these weekly Sabbaths. For her too, it was a very rare time of rest and tranquility and the enjoyment of her husband, who otherwise worked so hard in such dismal circumstances. Indeed, the one holiday that stands out in my mind above all others is the Passover service, as the complete embodiment of all of these qualities. Indeed, the whole house had to be not only clean, but very special and otherwise unused china and utensils employed during the Passover season. Jewel itself was one of great nobility, telling as it did the story of the Jews' escape from slavery under the pharaohs to freedom with Moses. To this day, Passover remains to me the most beautiful of holidays. Paragraph, my first attendance at high school was at DeWitt Clinton, which was then at 59th Street and 10th Avenue in Manhattan, and which took a subway ride from the Lower East Side every day. I was very unhappy at DeWitt Clinton. And never could become acclimated or accustomed to what seemed to me to be a different pace and quality of life. More urban in the sense of stress and competition, and less conducive to...